Good morning, brethren.
Good morning.
A scripture reading this morning we've taken from the 12th chapter of Romans. Romans chapter 12, I'm going to be reading verses 4 through 9. I just added a couple of verses. Romans 12, 4 through 9. I'll be reading from the New King James. For if we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having been gifts differing according to the grace which is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Well, make it back to that scripture reading. I'm just going to put whatever Mickey wants next time somebody asks what scripture reading is. Does a great job on that. I said before, if the Lord wants somebody to read scripture on the judgment day, I hope it's Mickey. I'd like to hear him do that. Open the Bible to the book of Romans. We're going to be reading Romans chapter 1 this morning. Off the Bible, off of Romans this morning. Hey, listen, VBS, VBS, VBS. Tomorrow. Start at 6 o'clock. It does not stand for very bad sinners. It stands for Vacation Bible School. We need to get a lot of children here. Invite the neighbors, friends, and family. Tomorrow on the adult side, Dave Newberry will be our teacher. Looking forward to a great week. Carl's worked very hard. Got the teachers, got things lined up. Got a lot of good things. We look forward to a great week. Sandy Bill's reputation about VBS is a good one. We want to maintain that. This community knows about all VBS. So let's continue on that. Off the Bible again this morning. What an outstanding and wonderful worship service I believe we've had so far. In the glory land way. If I can't preach after a song like that, maybe I need to do something else. Let's talk about getting there from here. Look in the book of Romans. Sit down. Buckle up. Let's be in the Word of God. Verse 1. Right off the bat. Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son, who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God, with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his name's sake, among whom you also are called of Jesus Christ. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God in Rome, called as saints, grace to you, peace from God and Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when in every movie, I notice, you know, a lot of times in these fast little movies that it's got the bomb, and that bomb's going to blow up and destroy half the world or half the city or something. And the bomb's ticking and it's only got so much time. And all those Hollywood bombs, you ever notice, we know how much time's left, so they all got those big red LED lights. They tell you how much time left before a big bomb goes off. And the hero always comes on the scene. When the hero comes on the scene, he takes a Starbucks cup and a couple of rusty nails and some nail clippers and makes a wrench and gets in there. He gets in there with all those wires and the time is clicking and the time's about done. And he reaches through the maze of all the gears and he clicks that watch. The red one. It's always the red one. He clicks the red one. And he saves the day. The bomb doesn't go off, and we're all saved. You know, a lot of times when I look at Romans, when we read Romans, I feel a little bit about Romans like it's a bomb, and it's ticking. And the reason I say that is because, I tell you what, there's a lot of false teachers that have come out of this book. Calvinism comes out of this book. And if you read this book wrong, you misunderstand this book, you misapply this book. Well, you know what? When I care about it, I tell you what, you can blow up your Christianity. You clip that red wire. A lot of things, bad things have happened. Now, I want you to look at verse 7 again, because I think that's the red wire in Romans. What's it say? To all those that are in Rome. Now, I want you to say, and contrary to what a lot of people think, Paul did not write the book of Romans as some academic challenge. He didn't write it as a highfalutin theology for a bunch of Bible scholars and preachers to sit around and discuss. Paul wrote the book of Romans for Romans. Paul wrote the book, the epistle, he wrote to the church. He wrote it to ordinary people, ordinary brothers and sisters in Christ. He wrote to ordinary Christians just like you and me. The Roman church was made up of slaves, former slaves, and free people. It was made up of Romans who needed help. It was made up of Romans who needed help with Christianity, and that's why Paul wrote the book. He wrote the epistle to help ordinary people in an ordinary local church of Christ, the kind of problems that ordinary people have, they had. They had them at Rome. What if we read the book of Romans like it was read in Paul's day? What if we tried to hear it? What if we tried to listen to the word the way it was presented to Roman Christians 2,000 years ago? And what if you look at it, Romans here, can it help us understand what it means to be a local church? Can the book of Romans help us understand what God would like to see in a local church? I look at that and I thought, you know what? That's what I want to do. That's what I want to talk about. Really, that's my mission this morning, if you want to call it that. I want us to think about the local church. I want us to think about the local body of Christ. I want to look at it. I want to open the book of Romans. And I want to spend a few minutes thinking about the local church. I don't think we think about it enough. Because I want us to look at what we're doing. I want us to understand, take a look at seeing and understanding what we're doing. And I want to do it not from the standpoint of what somebody wrote about Romans 1,500 years later after Paul penned, but I want to look at it with what Paul said about the Roman church and how Paul wrote it. I think I've got three ideas. How the book of Romans that will help us understand what Paul wrote to the Roman church. And three good ideas, I think, that will help us understand about being a local church and help us to be a local church that God approves of, God likes. Look at this. To all those in Rome, look at this. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout all the world. I'm going to tell you, first and foremost, you know what? Being a member of the local church, a local body of Christ, you know what? That's a big and important commitment. It's a big commitment. It's an important commitment. What Paul's saying is that membership to the church, it's a big deal. And membership to the church, it's always been a big deal. Part of being a member of the church is what? We use that word, identify. We're going to identify with the local body of saints. And in that identification, what you're saying is, I'm part of this group. I'm with this bunch. I believe what they believe. I'm like them. I'm making my stand with it. I identify with what's going on here. That makes it a big deal, though. And you know, it's really a proclamation that I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. I am part of this group. And with that, I'm committed to this group. I'm committed to this local body of Christ. You know what? That's something our society is absolutely terrified of. I'm telling you what. Commitment. No. Nobody wants to say, this is where I stand. This is what I believe. This is where I'm going to go with that. You can count on me to understand what I believe. Boy, we're terrified of that. Nobody wants to make that commitment. Nobody. What happens? All too often. You know, if what you believe, your conviction, gets out, some of the things that you believe gets out, it leaks out to other people, what do? You apologize. I've had people apologize to me for it. You know, I'm sorry if you saw my beliefs in something. I'm sorry if you saw my beliefs because I really believe in everybody and everything. Unless, of course, you don't believe in everybody and everything. And then, well, I'm sorry if you thought it because I really don't believe in everybody. Whatever you want me to believe, I believe. That's the circle of talk that you hear out there. We don't want to what? Oh, don't offend anybody. Don't you offend anybody with making stands. That's our world today. But I'm going to tell you something. That wasn't the world that the Roman church lived in. Look at that verse. Your faith is proclaimed in the world. People talk about you. People hear about you. People know about the stand that you've taken. People understand that you're committed. You've been together for Jesus Christ. And you need to know, you think it's difficult to make a stand for the Lord today? You need to know how difficult it was in the first century. You need to know how difficult it was for the Christians at Rome. And in this Testament time, I'm going to tell you something. You don't think people understand you today? Nobody understood Christians in the first century. You know what they thought they were? Cannibalism. Yeah, I thought we were cannibal. I know you all think we eat our own, but that's not what I'm talking about. No, they didn't know. You know what that came out of? Lord's Supper. Eat the body. Drink the blood. They even believed in the days of the Roman church that Christians were atheists. Believing all the gods in the Roman pantheon, and so they were atheists. And that kind of talk went all around about the Christians at Rome. But you know what they did? Verse 8, they stood together. We stand for Christ. They didn't hide it. They made the commitment. They made it in a very public way. We are Christians and we stand for Jesus Christ. Yet even still, you're going to have somebody come back to the city. You know what? I don't believe local membership is that important. I don't believe being committed to a local body of saints is that important. I just don't think it's a big deal. But you know, being committed and being a part of the local body of saints, it just wasn't found in the book of Romans. In fact, it's found all out through the New Testament. Look at Corinthians chapter 14. Paul, the local church there, a group of people that are committed to Christ, and you find it everywhere. Look at verse 23. If therefore the whole church come together, and all speak, well, how can you tell what the whole church is if you don't have some way of identifying what the whole church is? If you don't have people signifying, I am with you. That's a defined group. Paul defines a group right there. We'll see that again. Look at Acts chapter 20. Paul calls the elders and church vessels. Look at Acts chapter 20. He called them, wants to talk to them. What's he tell the elders? Look at verse 28. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. There's the flock. There's folks in charge of the flock. How can you be in charge of something or someone if you don't know who's part of the flock? Don't know that, don't you? One more time, Matthew chapter 18. Jesus himself uses this kind of language. Talk about the church in these kind of terms and some of the things he wants to know about somebody caught up in sin. Notice verse 15, if your brother sins, you need to go, don't he fall. If he doesn't listen, verse 16, take one or two more. Verse 17, if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. If he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile, he says, and a tax collector. See, that's an identifiable group. Jesus talked about the church. That's people that get together, that know about other people, that we get together with, that we can discuss and we can talk about, we can pray about, we can identify, we can help this brother. Now, if he doesn't accept our help and doesn't want to repent, well, what's the point? Reject him. We're going to have to treat him as a Gentile. How can you exclude somebody? How can you exclude somebody? How can somebody be out if we don't know who's in? That's an identifiable person. One Bible scholar noted that when you start thinking about the language, the metaphors that are used for the church, you got the temple, you got the body, you got a household, you got all of those words, and they all specify local saints, local bodies of Christ, and in all of those passages, you can see that there are specific members that are included in those words, or in that kind of language,
And there are others that are specifically excluded. I'd remind you that Paul, Acts chapter 9, wanted to do what? Join. He wanted to be a part of that group. He said, I want to be with you. I want to be part of it. And every one of us ought to think about that. The Apostle Paul and the entire book of Romans, when you look at it, it's written to a church. It's written to a congregation just like us. They had things they needed to take care of. They had things they needed to do different. And don't do this, don't do that. But it tells them one thing. The book tells them to do it how? Do it together. So he addresses their assembly. They heard it together. They worked at it together. All of those things. That's the concept of Romans. They were committed to each other. Is that your commitment here? How's your commitment to this assembly? How's your commitment to Sandyville? This is why membership is more than just a good idea. Or more than something that you might just need to get to sometime. It matters. Being a member of the Lord's Church, it counts. And when you read the New Testament, it's just assumed that you are. And the reason it's assumed is because it's a vital part of your survival as a Christian. It's a vital part of your relationship with other Christians. And it's just a given. One fellow said the difference between an attender and a tender of church and a member of church, it's the difference in living together and being there. I like that. A lot of folks date the church. But boy, I tell you, you want to find somebody who wants to get married to her. Hard. We're talking about the myth. And when Paul begins the book of Romans, right out the bat, right out the gate, that's why we read that. Part of being a Christian, part of following Jesus, part of being a disciple is that. It's the commitment to the other believers in this assembly. It matters. It matters. Next thing I have observed in this is, you know what, the church, church message, this message, you get with a bunch of people, you commit to a group of people, and I'm going to tell you something right out the gate, people have problems. They do. You understand that about our brethren? You understand that about the church, the folks in the church? You know, but I maybe this is a poor illustration, but tell them what I think of. You know about fountain pens. I remember Charlie Brown. He would write with a fountain pen, and I think it was Sal that always said, "Hey, why do you do that? You're going to get that stuff all over you. That ink all over you." And he said, "What ink?" You know, and he just had it all over. You know, and I think about it, because when I write, I've got every pen out of every drawer, every marker, every magic marker, every highlighter, and I got stuff everywhere, and I'm marking on everything, and I'm marking on stuff, because Dean comes in there sometimes and something. You change the oil or right in the surface. You don't know what, it's a mess. And I think about that, and fountain pens are worse. And nobody got a fountain pen to write a list for the groceries or something. You write something that's smooth and nice because it's a mess. And you need to know that the local church, a lot of times, I'll tell you what, it's a mess. Local churches can be mess. Turn to Romans 14. Romans chapter 14. This is what Paul says in verse 1. Now he says, except the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinion. That's what's going on in Rome. Verse 2, one person has faith that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats vegetables only. The one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat, and the one who does not eat is not to judge the one who eats. Why? For God, he said, has accepted him. That's not good. Judging in wrong, condemning in wrong, despising in wrong, binding where God is not bound there. There's all kinds of things going on there. All kinds of, and you know why? Because the local church is messy. What things happen in the local church? It's messy. It's leaking ink over here, spilling over from somebody else. And this thing's getting attention. It shouldn't get any attention. While this needs attention, it's not getting attention. You know, you don't lose everyone in the Testament again. Not just Rome. Corinth, man, they were suing each other. They were fighting among each other. every problem imaginable. Adultery was rampant. They were having trouble with spiritual gifts. They made a mess out of the Lord's Supper. All kinds of problems. What about Philippi? Well, Paul loved that congregation. He loved Philippi. And I'll tell you what, you look at the brethren there, they're arguing. Revelation chapter 2. Let's look at first. This is what that church did. Revelation chapter 2. Notice verse 14. But I have a few things against you, because you have some who hold the teaching of Balaam, who kept teaching Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, that even sacrifice to idols and commit acts of immorality. Wow, that's a big problem. That's a big problem in that church. I've heard it say, you want problems? Try verse 20. It's the fire of the tyrant. But I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. And she teaches and leads my bondservants astray as they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. That's in the church. That's in the Lord's church. Think about that. A lot of church has problems made up of people. That's why. The church is made up of people, and it's made up of people that can be sinful. And it's made up of people that can be selfish. You want to know something about things there? We're messing. Not that we have false teaching. Not that we have a false teacher. God forbid I ever teach you anything false about it. Do you call me on, I'll repent of it. There'll be a lot of things I stand for the Lord that I'm going to have to give an account of. And one of the things I do not ever want to give an account for the Lord is being false teaching. There's more punishment to that. I'll read that over and over again. He'd be careful about that. We don't have that problem here at all that I know of, nor do the elders. If you do, please let one of us know. That'll end today. But we do have our own church. We have areas we grow. We have areas we do better. We got those areas. We have things that we need to mature in. We got some problems. Yeah. Yeah. You know why? Because this church is made up of people that can sing and people that are selfish. Yeah. Right here. Just like you can read in the New Testament. It's made up of people with all kinds of different maturity levels, different understandings, different backgrounds. We'll talk a little bit about that. Just like the church in Rome. In Rome, there were Jewish believers and Gentile believers. And you talk about a gap. You talk about a background gap. And that long way to come. And you know what? That makes church members. That makes church wrong message. You know what? Some people's answer to having that kind of mess, you know how we can clean that up? We just need to meatify everybody. You know what I mean? To keep the church from having a mess, what we need to do is just everybody listen to me. Yeah, just listen to me. And I want everybody to use the same translation that I use. Now to take care of that mess about translation wrong. Yes, it will. Because one I use is wrong. And it's not the same, not only just in the assembly, but it's outside of the assembly. Public school, homeschool. Well, hey, you just do what I say. Just listen to what I say. There'll be no mess. And what you watch on TV and what you can't watch on TV. Yeah. I'll straighten that mess out right now if you listen to what I tell you what. Where you can go, where you can't go. You just need to fight whatever me says. What to wear and not to wear. You just listen to me. I can tell you how extravagant you can be on the vacation you go, how much money you can spend on a new car. I can tell you when you cross the line. You just listen to me, there won't be no mess. Yeah! Meet the cream. We don't have no mess. That's not what Paul said to Romans. That's not what Paul says in Romans 14. Everybody is not kowtow down to the brother loud. Whatever brother loud says, we'll do. No, that's not what it says to do. And he also didn't say, now I'll tell you what, it's such a mess, what you need to do is just pull out of here and go to church across town. No, he didn't say do that either. That's not how you clean up the mess. What's the answer? Look at verse 6. Romans 14, verse 6. Let's go back to Romans. I'm still in Revelation. Look at verse 6. This is how you clean that up. He observes the day, observes it to the Lord, and he who eats does it for the Lord, for he gives thanks to God, and he who eats not for the Lord, he does not eat, and gives thanks to God. Can I clean that? Give glory to God. Do all things for God. Let God have God's way. Do things in God's way. The emphasis in Rome here is what? On unity. The emphasis in the entire New Testament is unity. Let's get together on this and glorify God. That's the emphasis. We can do this together, stay together, grow together, and give one another time to grow in these areas. And that's specifically addressed in Romans 14. Brethren, we need to respect our differences. That's what's there. In matters of conscience, in matters of judgment. That's the answer. That's what he said.
Does that mean that there'll never be a time when brethren can't leave over doctrinal differences? Of course not. No, Paul addresses that. Turn to Romans 16. Verse 17. Now he says, Romans 16, verse 17. Now I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissension and hindrances contrary to the doctrine, the teaching which you learned. Turn away from them. But Paul does not say that the standard to help the local church not be messy is to demand that you conform to me and demand that my opinion is what should go down the pipe and my scruples need to go down the pipe. It's what I believe and what I was taught and how I grew up and what my parents taught me. That's not how to fix that. I'm saying this morning, Paul is saying that the local church is messy. And what that's saying is, you know what we need to do, brethren? You know what they were instructed? We need to be patient. And we need to forbear one another. If you remember the New Testament church there at Rome, I'll tell you what kind of brethren you're going to find there. You're going to find brethren there that are trying to grow. And trying to grow into the image of the Lord. And try every day to look like Jesus Christ. You know what kind of process that is? It's a hard. It's a difficult process. And I'm afraid sometimes we don't allow that for a lot of people. We've got to put up with one another. We got to help one another. All we have to say is write each other off, pull away and be separate. No. Despite the huge differences at Rome in the religious background, their economic background, all of that. Can you imagine the difference between slaves and slave owners? Can you imagine that there, buddy? A business owner, somebody doesn't have enough, all of it came together because once they had a commitment to stay together, we're going to do this together. All that unity. You know why they did that? Same reason I've used pens and have them all over the couch, chairs, floors, everything else. Because when I find the right one, oh, it's so pretty. Everything's so pretty. You know what? When we're together and worship together and are united together and talk about spiritual matters together, oh, that's joy. That is a beautiful thing when we unite that way, despite all of those other things. It's well worth it. It's worth the effort to have that, to see that. Because we're laboring together. We're working together. In Jesus Christ. It brings me finally to the last important principle. You should know that being part of a local church means what? What that means? It means you're a part. That's what that means. It means that you're taking part. Now, one of the things you don't see in Rome, and really, is you know what? I need to tell you folks to come to church. I need to tell you guys to come to the assembly. Hey, these folks slacking on coming to church. You don't see that in Rome at all. Don't see that in the book of Romans. And really, you don't see it much in the New Testament. It's not really that. Because assembling together, being together, in the times that we've been given to come together, that's a given. It's a given. The value of worship, the priority of worship, all of that priority, that's just a given that a New Testament Christian would want to do that. Living in the scripture reading. And I look at that, and there's things going on there. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12. I'm going to continue reading there. And really, if you got the idea that you show up on Sunday and toss the check in the plate, you're good to go. Paul says, no, that's not it. We need to work together. We need to have this ongoing fellowship. We need to be together, folks. Well, give each other. If you read verse 9, I want to continue there, verse 10. Be devoted to one another. Brotherly love. Give preference one to another in honor.
not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, preserving tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality, bless those who persecute you, and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, be the same mind toward one another, do not be haughty in mind, associate with the lowly, do not be wise in your own estimation, don't pay back evil to evil, respect what is right in the sight of all men. Wow. There's all kinds of things going on there, but I'll tell you what, there's a connection there. How often does Paul say love one another? Rejoice with one another, weep with one another. These folks at Rome, they cared about each other. They knew each other. They were connected. Look at verse 13. Contributing to the needs of one. That's what we want. That's what we need. And even though we go super busy and we're spread out all over the country, we've got to make this connection real. We're commanded to make this connection that they had at Rome real in Sandyville. That's what we're talking about. Very part of that. First part of that. How many of you have a church director if you don't see Jill Sargent? How many of you got? How many of you get up every day and pray to God and look at those names on there and specifically name them? Church director is one of the greatest things ever done. And you can name people, you can take people's names to the throne of God every day. You ever do it? It's an amazing thing how that works. Amazing. But prayer is involved here. And that connection is real. We're going to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we're connected to that commitment. There's activity there. That's verse 6, 7, and 8. What gift do you have? What do you do? What ability has God given you that you can use in the kingdom of God? That you can be a part of that? Church membership does not mean then, and it does not mean thou, that you stop by this building one time a week, and that you never see any of us again, you never think about any of us again, and you never do anything with us again till next Sunday. That's not what that means. And that's what it's never meant. Church membership meant, I am a part of you, you are a part of me, we're working together. That's what this means. Are we doing those things together? Man, what part do you play in that? Business together? Play together? Ministering to somebody who's sick? Somebody that needs something, being a part of that, all of those things, taking Paul. And I sum up what Paul's talking about there as he's saying that, looking at that, these relationships do something for us, brethren, that are very important. You know what I mean? Because the local church, this group of people, this group, is the only group of people in the world that were going to help you get to heaven. This is it. The 100 people here, this is it. Your co-worker, guy you work with, nice guy. Work with him every day, great guy. We get the product out, got to make a living. I understand that. He's not going to help you go to heaven. He's not going to help you go. What about the relationship the kids have at school? What PTA? FCT, whatever you do, all those organizations, all the things that you're involved in school, and sports, your kids, go, go, go. Those people aren't going to help you go to heaven. They're not going to help you go to heaven. What about the friends outside of the church? Hey, those relationships are important. Especially if you can get those relationships to come here to this assembly to hear the gospel message of their salvation. But you know what, all in all, you think about those relationships, they don't help you go to heaven. The people in this room are the only people in the world that are helping you go to heaven. You know that's what we're doing here at Sandyville? We're helping you get there. We're helping you get there, and that's what we do. That's what the local church is all about. That's what we're here for. That's why it matters. That's why you need to be a part. That's why you need to play your part. Because we need you. We need you and you. Yeah. You need us. Local church. You talk about Rome. This church, Church of Rome, was founded on the example and the identity of the most selfless person that ever lived and ever walked the face of this earth, Jesus Christ. Ever hear the Lord say, I'm not ever going to do anything that's inconvenient? You ever hear the Lord say, I'm not going to do something because I don't want to? You ever hear the Lord say or infer, you know what, it's about me, I'll just pass on that. No. Jesus Christ gave everything. Everything. To be a church of Christ, I believe, is to follow that profound example that Jesus left us. It's about others, brethren. It's about you. I want you to go to heaven. I want to do everything I can do to get you to heaven. And I want you to understand that we need each other to do that. That's the role that we play. And we do it because of what we've been given. The abilities and the gifts that we've been given. We can pray for each other. We can work together. Jesus, followers, you look at that and wrong. What does it say? You matter. You count. You are vital. You are important. I'll tell you what. I'm interested in you. I hope you're interested in me. I hope you're interested in this local body of Christ that loves the Lord and loves to preach the truth, and we stand on that foundation. Forever and ever, I pray. And I need you to pray for all of us as they continue to lead us. Job's there. Please get strong with that. We need to be connected. That was part of the local church. Rome still is. Part of what the local church is today. You know, I read wrong, but I started out that. I don't know sometimes exactly what some of the arguments that Paul made, and sometimes I don't even know what he's referencing in there, but there's no doubt that this is a letter to ordinary Christians in an ordinary place, an ordinary church. Just like us. We're plain folks. The folks, we have something so powerful that a lot of folks in the world's not even heard. We have the gospel of Christ. Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. You do that, you obey the gospel today, you'll be added to the glorious church, his body, purchased by his blood. Please come. That's the deadly thing to say.